starting off the program this afternoon. We're so thrilled to have him here. He is the news director of WABI TV5, who has announced his retirement at the end of the year. Jim Morris joining us. Jim, welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Good to be here. So I'm leading off like Tommy Harper, huh?
Yes.
I just myself or what?
You still have that level of speed of Tommy Harper. Speaking of that, well, since you went to baseball initially, I mean, you were playing baseball well into your 40s and maybe beyond.
56.
Right?
I hung it up at 56.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Holy cow.
I was playing in a men's league, mostly Central Maine. They're spread out all over Maine. So you traveled a lot on Sunday mornings and occasionally on Wednesdays. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you've been at Channel 5 now for, what is it, 22, 23 years?
Almost 25 director? This
wow.
time around. Yeah, I was there with you in radio way back when for 3 years, back in the early 80s. And then went over to Channel 7, VII, and spent a couple of years there in television. And then moved on to Pennsylvania, stayed there for a little over 8 years, and then came back. And came back to Channel 7. They were kind enough to hire me again. And, you know, after the first time around, they still thought that I was valuable enough to bring back. And so I was very fortunate to be able to find a job because I just wanted to come back to Maine at that time. And then a couple of years there, I came over to Channel 5, WABI, and I've been there ever since, almost 25 years.
And, you know, we were talking about this with Bill Green. Yeah. Everybody's retiring, but me. We're talking to Bill Green. We talked to Timmy about it before he left. And you know, it's remarkable being in a fairly small city like Bangor, the level of talent that we've all had the chance to work with through the years.
That is remarkable, Rich. I mean, working with you, I always admired your work, even way back when. You were young and foolish, but you were always very good at what you did. You really were great on the sports mic. That's where you really, and you were good as a country western DJ. I remember that back with the BGW days.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that was, but you know, Steve Martin and Bill Patrick and Gary Tangway and Tim Throckmorton came through there. And, you know, I'm going to forget Gary Thorne because there's so many of them. It's such a long list of impressive names that came through. George Hale, of course, you know, and on it goes. And just when you start out, and I was doing radio, you know, when I was in college, and that was the first broadcast gig. And when you start out with that kind of an all-star lineup, you have no idea. You have no clue. You think, oh, this is the way it is. You go to an AM radio station in Bangor, Maine, and all the people are this good. Well, I'm not very good, but they bring you along really quickly because that's your standard. My God, what a high bar that is. And by osmosis, you become better than you should be. And then after a couple of years or so, or many years in the business, you reflect back and go, my God, was I lucky.
You know,
it really is remarkable. I can't think of anywhere else with this size, you know, of a population where you could walk into a situation like that and have that many all-star broadcasters to learn from.
So early 80s, well, when you started out of the military, going to college, what shifts were you working at the old WABI?
Well, I was doing Super Gold on the solid gold, on the solid gold highway of hits, AM91. That was back in, I was mostly doing weekends, of course, you know, Saturdays and Sunday nights. You'd have to swing back in the afternoon, too, or in the morning to do Casey Kasem's Top 40. It came on a very flimsy LP that was like a throwaway. I think it dissolved if it hit sunlight.
I may have a couple of those old American Top 40s.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
What?
And you just incriminated yourself. And there's no statute of limitation. No statute on that.
Someone tell Don Bastani I don't really have them.
Or Joan Kasem or whatever. You know, you're in trouble now. But we would spend those, and our job was to babysit it because everything was physical back then. It wasn't ones and O's. It wasn't digital. You had to physically put something on, a reel or a cart, you know, that was the size of it was like a big thick piece of toast or something you threw in a machine. And then we had these albums and records, 45s, and you had to physically do that. You had to engage it. I thought that was a blast. That was the funnest time I ever had broadcast.
And you knew the really popular songs because they had that cue scratch at the beginning of them.
Exactly,
so you
would
pop them up slowly.
Right, because it would be rude. But speaking of that, on the way in, I was listening to The Zone here, and you know, I like this format and everything, but can't we go back to that music? It was great music. I mean, I really admire it. You had Bad Fingers, No Matter What, deftly segued into the Spencer Davis Groups. Give me some lovin'.
Yeah.
You know, this is good stuff, good tunes.
No question about it. But you bring up a great point. Jim Morris with us here from WABI TV5. And we all have that opportunity to learn the craft, first of all, around really talented people, but in fairly low-pressure situations, you know, running the board at 11 o'clock at night or American Top 40 or doing commercials during a Red Sox game. With automation now, you don't see those opportunities for young broadcasters.
No, you don't. And back then, I mean, the audience, we were 5,000 watts. I think when the sun came up, you couldn't broadcast until, well, Hale got in there and somehow figured out.
Right.
Actually, but at night, we didn't have one of those things where we were, you know, a super station or you up the power at night or anything like that. You just got what you got. I mean, the audience was basically moose, bear, skunks, and maybe five drunk people at Lucerne Lake, you know, on a summer night. And that's what we
those are my people. Hello.
those are my peeps. I'm not complaining. That was great.
Now, did you notice
but
a difference?
But you can only play Ferry Cross the Mercy by Jerry and the Pacemaker so many times when the same guy calls, you know.
Right. Every day.
Every day.
The same song.
Yeah.
And when you moved to TV, and you were in some big markets, you were in Harrisburg, Philly, Baltimore for a while, you had opportunities to go to bigger markets, but like a number of people, you wanted to be close to home.
Well, I'll bounce that right over the net back at you, Rich. I always wonder why you didn't go bigger, and I know why now. I've known for years. I came back because inherently I want to be here. That's what you want to do. That's what George Hale wanted to do. That's what a lot of us want to do. That's what people in this room that we're facing up against right now do. And after almost a decade, you know, in the road, like eight plus years, the opportunities were coming, and it was, you know, climbing up that ladder. I always thought that's what I wanted. But then this variable came in out of left field, and it was, you know, kids. I had a child that was 2 years old going on three, another one that was zero and starting to crawl around a little bit. And it was time to come home. We were missing everything. Every time someone hit a 50th anniversary or there was a wedding or there was a mitzvah, whatever was going on, we were the ones that were kind of out in left field, just far enough away where we couldn't get home to a lot of things. So that wears on you. And so you make a choice. If I can still do something in this profession and go back, well, sure, I'm not going to make the money I made down there. I'm not going to get some of the opportunities I get down there. But you'd be surprised. If you come back here, there's still opportunities. It's just that you kind of have to take the bigger job. To come
back,
you know, and since you have some chevrons on your shoulder by stepping out, then maybe you can come back and do that. Or you can stick around, like Timmy's a great example, where he just built it right here and never left. And he built up that kind of experience and everything. But again, because of the infrastructure, the people around him, the opportunities he got, and the wonderful mentors that he had every step of the way, oblivious to it, I'm sure, when he was a little kid, but I'm sure he very much appreciates that now.
But then you have that transition, and you've been doing it for many years as a news director where the roles are reversed, and you become the mentor.
Yeah, you become the mentor, and you're the manager. I mean, if you're a news director in a smaller market like this, you're basically an accountant. you're legal, you're like a lawyer, and you're HR. That's a lot of your job. You're recruiting people all the time, you're amortizing vehicles, you're looking at the best deal in paperclips, and counseling people and bringing along. And then the mentoring, of course, where that role is always there for the senior on-air people and behind-the-scenes people as well. We have the skills, and we made the mistakes years ago. We're no better than these kids. Some of them are going to be better than us. But they're just stepping into it, and they need that kind of guidance. I hit that pothole 20 times before my thick skull, you know, figured it out. Maybe they're quick enough to figure it out after one or two, and it's just me to give them a little bit of a roadmap. And so that's the funnest part of being in a smaller market, that we love sports, Rich, you know that. And playing, it's great, but coaching, it's great, too. When you teach a kid how to hit a ball or you teach a kid how to field a ball properly or throw it, there's no better reward to me than that. It's the same thing with this when you teach a kid the tenets of journalism.
Part of that, too, is also having an eye for talent. And when I look at some of the people who have gone through Channel 5 over the course of the last 25 years, news reporters, anchors, sports people in particular, some very good ones there, but you did a great job of finding those people and nurturing that talent.
Well, thanks. You know, so you're saying I'm the Botts Nicola of
Yes.
TV5. If you don't know who Botts is, well, I guess you got to be 70 plus to get that reference, like Rich. But he actually scouted and signed Karyastrzemski, among other people.
Yeah.
He's a scout for the Sox.
I have to tell the story that for years we would just call each other and drop random obscure baseball names. You know, you would answer the phone and I would ask for Pepe Frias or something.
Exactly, and John Bacabella might be on the other end. Yeah.
But one of our favorites, and I dropped him in a message the other day, Bill Wamsnas.
Oh, love Bill Wamgans.
I
don't know how you pronounce it. It's like Napoleon Lajoie. Is it LaJoy? Who knows? They didn't broadcast back then.
No.
We have no idea. It's just in print. But anyways, Wamsgans, whatever, however you say his name, he committed the only unassisted triple play in World Series history. It's 1920, Cleveland Indians, and he committed the triple play. he may have gotten the opportunity to play for tragic reasons.
Yes.
Because Ray Chapman.
And you threw Carl Mays at me.
Carl Mays, who threw that submarine into his head.
The only guy who killed a player in a game.
In a game. And unfortunately, Ray Chapman, the second baseman, I think he played 17, 18 years, never got to a World Series. He's finally on the threshold of it in August. He gets hit by a pitch and dies. Yeah. And then this Bill guy, but I think Bill might have played shortstop, so maybe that wasn't a conflict. Right. But he would have been the guy he would have tandem with, and he had to hook up with a different person for the World Series, obviously.
All right, who's your favorite obscure player of all time?
Obscure player of all time?
I will say.
Well, there are certain statistics that really intrigue me more than anything else. We'll start with that. They have nothing to do with obscure players. One of the greatest players of all time, Stan Musial. Incredible stat. That, I mean, you talk about guys who have a home advantage because they have the left field wall in Fenway or they have the short porch in Yankee Stadium. Stan Musial had 3,630 career hits. He had 1,815 at home, 1,815 on the road. Spread it over 24, 25-year career, and he had exactly the same. He batted 332 on the road, 331 at home, lifetime 331. The guy was so consistent, just wind up, no matter where he was, and he hit the same. So that's really remarkable. Another one I love is the guy who, the longtime relief pitcher, who Hoyt Wilhelm, who was a starter for years and became a reliever and became a Hall of Fame reliever.
And are you going to throw out the home run statistic?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, bring it down. You know, I mean, his first at-bat in the major leagues. He lasted 21 years. He got in late, like 28 or so, played till he was almost 50.
He was also wounded at the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, Hoyt Wilhelm. Yeah, and there's a lot of stories like that in Major League Baseball, guys that were heroic in the battlefield, you know, especially World War II, World War I. But anyways, Wilhelm gets up his first at-bat, he hits a home run. He got up about 500 times in his career, never hit another home run. That was it, you know, 20-something years later.
There you go.
Yeah.
Things you didn't know about Jim Morris, huh? Well, Jim, listen, congratulations on a fantastic career. And as you said before we went on, you're doing it the right way. You're getting out while you still love what you do.
Do love what I do. Like who I'm working for, like who I'm working with. And it's been a pleasure. And I like who I've been serving, too. You know, the viewers of Eastern and Central Maine have been remarcable and supportive through the years. And I can't say enough, you know, to thank them for that. And so this is the farewell. You got to go down to the things, right?
We're moving on. Okay. You had your time.
All right. Thank you. Well, I want to wish all of you a very holly and smead jolly Christmas. And I might add a Mike Dolly Christmas.
Oh, a Mike Dolly.
Mike Dolly.
Oh, Jim.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Thank you, Jim. Good luck. If you get bored in retirement, come back and visit.
All right, well, I'll be knocking on the door every day.
Jim Morris with us here on Downtown.